This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Backcountry. The outdoors is calling, and if you want to answer, backcountry.com is the place to go. Go to backcountry.com/AC and enter promo code AC to get 15% off your first full price purchase. Some exclusions apply. This episode is also sponsored by Policy Genius. Listen, while you're tidying up the house this spring, why not get your life insurance organized too? Go to policygenius.com to get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I am also the author of a brand new book, The Motivation Code, which is available now wherever books are sold. So check it out or at motivationcode.com. Learn what it is that really makes you tick, what drives you. So when you hear the phrase influencer marketing, what comes to mind? Is it people taking selfies and posting them on Instagram and, you know, maybe trying to sort of get your product seen with somebody who has some cultural influence? To be frank, that phrase is not exactly an attractive one to me. Influencer marketing, because I tend to think of maybe some of the seedier sides of influencer marketing. But the reality is, listen, if you market, if you have a brand, if you are someone who wants to get the word out about what you do, because what you do will help people, because what you do will actually make people's lives better, leveraging the influence of other people in order to help you get that message out and to connect with people who you might be able to serve is an incredibly valuable strategy. So on today's show, we have Jason Falls. Jason is an expert in influencer marketing. He has a book called Winfluence. He's going to talk about how we can reframe the concept of influencer marketing. So listen, if you're a solopreneur, if you're a designer, if you're somebody who runs a business, if you're somebody who has a product you're trying to get into the hands of someone you know it will help, if you're a manager in an organization trying to figure out how to get your message to resonate with your clients or even within your organization itself, leveraging the power of influencers is a valuable strategy to help you accomplish that end. So on today's show, Jason's going to help us reframe our understanding of influence and is going to share some strategies for how we can leverage influencer marketing to help us be more effective in getting our message to the world. Before we dive into that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Backcountry. Listen, I don't know about you, but I am excited that where we live, the weather is starting to turn. We're going to be able to get outside. We're going to be able to do the things that our family loves to do, like hike and camp and do all the things that allow us to experience nature. The outdoors is calling. And if you want to answer, backcountry.com is the place to go. Because when you shop at backcountry.com, you can pick up the phone and talk gear with an actual former Olympian. Yes, absolutely true. Founded by a former Olympic skier, backcountry.com is the best place for outdoor gear and apparel. From Patagonia to Yeti to Big Agnes to Santa Cruz bicycles, backcountry.com has thousands of your favorite brands and products for every outdoor adventure. Not sure where to start on camping gear, skis, or a winter jacket? When you ask for help at backcountry.com, you're not getting an outdoor hobbyist. Backcountry gearheads are experts who give you a masterclass in the great outdoors. Anything from providing you a detailed pack list for your next summit to gift recommendations for your outdoorsy friend to what winter jacket works for you. I was trying to figure out the sizing for a particular jacket I was ordering because, you know, sometimes sizing is different from brand to brand. And the gearhead was able to navigate me directly to a page. It would help me understand the perfect size just for me. Listen, everything Backcountry sells is the highest quality, but the Backcountry gearheads are the real difference. Now I've got my eye on the Nano Puff jacket from Patagonia. Also, they carry my running shoes. I wear On running shoes, and they carry that brand and also a pair of hiking shorts for the summer. Very, very excited about that. So all of the gearheads are former pro athletes, Olympians, 100-day-plus-a-year skiers with seasoned guides with years of experience, all available 24/7 by phone, email, or chat for product information, recommendations, and hard-won advice. So go to backcountry.com/AC and enter promo code AC to get 15% off your first full-price purchase. Some exclusions apply. Go right now and get 15% off at backcountry.com/AC and enter promo code AC. That's backcountry.com/AC. And don't forget to enter promo code AC. And we thank Backcountry for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's good to have on the show today Jason Falls. Jason is the author of a new book. It's called Winfluence. We're going to be talking about what does it mean to market with influencers today? Jason, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd, longtime listener. Just an honor to be here.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So I want to talk about Winfluence. Now, this is a topic, and we were just sort of talking about this before we started recording. This is not a topic that we typically address on this show, but I found the topic fascinating. It's something that we all have to understand, with the way that things are moving now culturally, in terms of the marketplace, we have to understand this dynamic. So could you talk to us, give us, what is your best succinct, that's easy for me to say, definition of influencer marketing?
So my definition, which is, sort of kind of the impetus for the book, is a little different than other people's, because the impetus for the book was to say, we're looking at it all wrong. When most people think of influencer marketing, they think of people on Instagram and YouTube. And my definition is, an influencer is anyone who can influence an audience to take action. Mm. And that can be someone standing in line in front of you in the grocery store. It could be a political lobbyist. It could be the president of the local PTA. So when you're thinking of using influential people in that broad of a definition from a marketing context, you're really broadening your horizons to say, okay, yeah, there's Instagrammers, there's YouTubers, there are people with these online social media followings that can amplify things because they have followings. But if you're really trying to influence an audience to take action, depending upon the size of your business and the sort of goal of your creative strategy, you may be using, soccer moms, you may be using nurses, you may be using a lot of different people who don't necessarily have big online audiences. So influencer marketing is finding the right influential people to make the audience you're trying to reach take action.
Yeah, I love that. I love also the way that you describe it in the book as the difference between influencers and those with influence, right? Because those are different things. And we see, so when I, listen, I'm almost a 50-year-old man, right? So when I hear the word influencer, what I think of are people taking selfies next to swimming pools, right? Like, frankly, like that's what pops to mind, but that's not what you're talking about.
It's not. And I would even say that perception of what an online influencer is also tainted. That's what the mainstream media wants you to believe it is. They report back, and there's even a documentary on HBO right now called Fake Famous that basically says influentials are superficial. They're frivolous. They don't have any depth, etc. But there's an entire world of incredible content creators out there online that have built interesting audiences in very niche topics that your brand and your creative strategy can tap into.
Yeah. And, I'll give you, just the example of our show. I've been doing this show for 15 years now, but we have never approached a single sponsor for the podcast. We have been approached by every sponsor that's ever been on this show has approached us in some way, or an agency has approached us on behalf of the, this show, I love this show, and I'm grateful people listen, but like, this is not a household name show, right? It's not like this is the Today Show or something. But I think what happens is people identify those who have a significant voice into the community that they're trying to reach, and they realize, a handful of words of endorsement can really mean a lot from somebody who is respected by that audience.
Yeah, that's true. And I would definitely say that if you're trying to reach a creative set of people, then Todd Henry is an influencer, and the Accidental Creative is a channel, a mechanism to potentially influence that audience. Now, in the approach of sponsoring your podcast, it's much more of a traditional advertising play.
Sure.
But if, Headspace, for instance, who I know you've worked with, if they come to you and say, hey, we'd really like to, do an episode where, maybe Andy comes on the show and we're talking about how to use, meditation to drive creativity, mm-hmm. that's, taking influence marketing to another level, another step with you. And so that's sort of the strategies that I try to encourage people to come up with.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk about the four types of impact that we can have, we can experience through marketing. Could you share those and describe a little bit about them?
Yeah. So the four types of impact that you can have in your marketing in my mind are, you can use influence to do four basic purposes: to persuade, which aligns with advertising. You can also use it to associate. So instead of direct call to action and driving people to purchase, you can actually associate your brand with a person or their audience or a cause or a purpose. And so that aligns really with public relations for people who are trying to kind of translate all these things into what we already know. Then there's also validation. And so that is aligned with what I would consider ratings and reviews, kind of customer service, but in the online world, those ratings and reviews are critical to win search and things like that. So you can also use influencers to help validate your brand. And then the biggest one at the end that I really get excited about is to enthuse. And that enthusiasm aligns with word of mouth marketing. If you can partner and build relationships with influencers over time, then you've got an army of people who will turn to their audience and say, hey, here's something else exciting that this company or this brand or this person is doing. And I want to tell you about it because, as you know, from listening to me over time or seeing my content over time, you know that they're a friend or they're a partner, and I'm excited about what they're doing. So persuade, associate, validate, and enthuse are kind of the four ultimate purposes of influence, and they align very nicely with traditional things that we understand, like advertising, public relations, ratings and reviews, slash customer service, and then word of mouth.
So I know that you are a huge fan, obviously. I mean, you just wrote the book, literally wrote the book on influencer marketing. Is there anyone, I mean, we have a lot of small businesses listening right now, and a lot of, you know, directors and people who are running larger elements of companies right now. Is there anyone that you would discourage from using influencer marketing and how they think about getting the word out about their business or influencing an audience they want to influence?
If you define influencers broadly the way I do, which is anyone who can persuade an audience to take action, then if you stop, you know, using influence marketing, no one's going to ever know about your business, because everything is influence marketing to a degree. So I would say, no, I would never discourage any business from finding those right partners, those right channels, those right influencers to work with. Now, if you want to define it as, are there businesses that have no business dealing with Instagrammers and YouTubers who have a quarter of a million followers online? Certainly. I mean, small businesses, A, probably can't afford to work with them. But what you can do is you can look at, okay, who, if, especially if you're a local business, this is an easy way to translate it. Who in your geographic footprint is influential online relative to your geographic footprint? So I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. If there is an influencer in town who has a million followers on YouTube, but they're not YouTubing and they're not doing content about Louisville, Kentucky, or the lifestyle here, and I'm a local business here, they don't mean anything to me. But I can go to a local food blogger or a local Instagrammer who reviews different types of businesses in Louisville, Kentucky, and now all of a sudden that's relevant. And that person's probably small enough to be able to, you know, pay attention to me, come and review my business, hear what I have to say. And they may not cost me a whole lot of money to get some really interesting content out there where they are recommending people come to my business.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes so much sense. So in light of that, then how do you begin to identify a good influence partner? You know, if we're looking for someone who fits that profile, where should we start?
Well, there, you know, if you're looking for the online influencers, there's tools out there that can help you sort of go through the databases and things like that. But I would actually step back and approach this the same way you would approach any creative strategy, any creative problem. You want to first say, okay, who is my audience? I understand that audience really, really well. And one of the things you want to know about that audience is, who influences them? Where do they turn to for news and information? Where do they turn to for product information? Is there a geographic, you know, sort of impact of relevance to that particular consumer that we're going after? Is there a topic relevance around that consumer? Are we talking to someone who's really going to get excited about outdoor activities, for instance? And so now I need to find people who influence those who are enthusiastic about outdoor activities. So go back to your audience and understand who impacts them, and then you can start to map it out. Okay, if I'm a hospital in a medium-sized city, and I want to impact the parents who are making medical decisions for their children in this community, who influences them? Yeah, it might be some local bloggers or some local Instagrammers or YouTubers, but more than likely, you're going to want to reach out to teachers. You're going to want to reach out to dentists and nurses and doctors that they might come into contact with. You're going to want to reach out to parent-teacher organizations. Mm-hmm. So there's school counselors, right? There's lots of people who impact that audience. audience. If you take your mindset out of Instagram and YouTube and just think of what you're trying to do, you're trying to influence, find who influences them and start there.
Yeah. I love that. I love that approach. And, you know, I've even, as I was reading your book, the wheels started turning in my head, you know, about how I could leverage some of these strategies to expand the reach of the show or expand the reach of my books or expand the reach of my business, you know, my consulting practice and my speaking practice. The question I think that everybody has though is, you know, how do you measure the effectiveness of something like this, right? I think that's one of the challenges, maybe one of the things that prevents people from engaging in marketing with people with influence is that maybe they either it feels like foreign territory to them or they don't know how to measure the effectiveness in the way that they would in kind of a traditional advertising or marketing model. What are your words of advice for people who are thinking that?
So the first thing is as with any, you know, marketing strategy, you've got a plan to measure. You've got to say, okay, what's our goal and what are we trying to accomplish? Define that really succinctly first, and then say, okay, if we are trying to accomplish awareness through influencers, then first of all, we have to know how many people are aware of us before we start. So we know what needle we moved and how far we moved it. Yeah. And then we have to set traps along the way to understand how are we impacting that measure. If you're doing a survey on the front end and a survey on the back end, that's pretty succinct. That's an easy way to do it. But you can also look at other key performance indicators, not what I call the performance indicator, which is the singular metric that proves you've proved your goal. But the performance indicators like, okay, how many people are talking about us online now versus during or at the end of the campaign? Well, we can use social listening to measure that. How many influencers are spreading our content to their audiences? You can measure that. What are the impressions and reach and comments and likes and all that kind of stuff? Those are all key performance indicators that ultimately lead to the performance indicator, which is how many more people are aware of us and what we're doing now versus when we started. The trick is really that planning part, is saying, okay, what is our goal and what do we want to measure out of this? And then you can design programs, whether it's, you know, giving custom UTM parameter links to influencers to drive people to specific pages on your website, and then you can measure, you know, directly where that traffic came from, which influencer, which social channel it came from within that influencer. You can measure all that, but you got to plan on the front end. And so it's no more difficult than measuring anything else in marketing. You just have to plan up front to know what you're trying to capture and when to capture it and how to capture it. And yeah, you may need to ask your influence partners to say, I need you to share some analytics with me so that I can understand what I get out of it. The smart ones are going to give you that because they know that's the only way you're going to come back to them.
Hey friends, we're going to jump back into the conversation with Jason Falls in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also sponsored by Policy Genius. So spring is springing as we speak, and it's a perfect reminder to tidy up and get your life in order. Why not start by protecting your family with life insurance? Policy Genius can help you compare top insurers in one place and save 50% or more. Once you find your best option, the Policy Genius team will help you set up your new policy and answer any questions you have along the way. Here's how you can get started. First, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes to find your best price. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare policies from as little as $15 a month. You might even be eligible to skip the in-person medical exam. Since their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, there's zero hassle. If you hit any speed bumps during the application process, Policy Genius will take care of everything. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. And the best part? All the benefits of Policy Genius, the comparison tool, the handling of paperwork, the unbiased advice are totally free to use. So while you're tidying up around the house this spring, why not get your life insurance organized too? You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes and feel good knowing that if something happens, your loved ones will be taken care of. Go to policygenius.com to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. And now back to the conversation with Jason Falls. So there probably also are people who are listening right now, Jason, who are people with influence, right? These are people who maybe have audiences. They have some measure of influence with those audiences. If those people are thinking, hey, I want to try to find good brands, good businesses that I could partner with to leverage that influence to help those businesses, what would be your advice to them?
To be honest with you, I just reach out to them. You know, when I started this whole process of, hey, I'm going to be talking a lot about influence marketing in the next few months, I reached out to a couple of the influence marketing software companies and said, I like your tool. I like using your tool. I would like to talk more about your tool, and I'm going to have a lot of opportunities to do that. So let's talk about what that might look like. Can I be of service to you? So sometimes I just reach out to them. Another thing that you can do, though, is make sure that you are connected to the influence marketing platforms out there where brands are going to connect, because some brands, instead of going directly to an influencer online, will go through platforms like IZEA or Maverick. And if you want to be connected with brands, then you need to reach out to those influence marketing platforms and databases and make sure that you've got a listing there and your accounts are connected so they can see the kind of impact that you have. That's going to give you an opportunity to be in front of more decision makers who are choosing the influence partners they want to work with.
Yeah, I think of the availability, to your point, often I find that availability is often one of the key sort of leading indicators of business, right? Of mm-hmm. actually getting business. If you're not available, if you're not in the cohort that they're selecting from, then it's very unlikely that they're just going to stumble across you. And so just being in the places where people are likely to be fishing is mm-hmm. really critical.
And it doesn't help to raise your hand and say, hey, I want to work with you guys.
Yeah.
Because if you've got, some depth and breadth to your content and you've got an audience that they want to get in front of, most brands these days are going to go, okay, let's talk.
Yeah, absolutely. So other than buying Winfluence and reading it cover to cover, which is really, it is a manual. It's not a manual. It doesn't read like a manual. But I'm saying you can really read this book and understand tactically what you need to do. So excellent job with the book, Jason.
Thank you.
What would be your advice for those who are considering taking a step in this direction? What should they do next?
Well, I definitely think that, again, do it strategically. Start out with the goals and understand what you're trying to get out of it, so that when you are measuring along the way and you get to the end, you sort of understand what the impact was. Big mistake a lot of people make is, okay, well, let's just partner with people who have big audiences online and see what happens. Well, you're not going to be happy out of that, because you're not going to have a goal. You're not going to have benchmarks that you're trying to reach. You're not going to be able to measure the effectiveness and efficiency of influencers as a channel against the other channels you're spending money on, which is another reason you want to plan to measure on the front end. But there's lots of great resources out there. There's lots of websites that share a lot of interesting ideas about influencer marketing. There's a gentleman by the name of Neil Schaefer who's got some great content. Amanda Russell's another person who's got a lot of great content out there about it. And then, quite frankly, a lot of the software companies that deal in this space have really good blogs where they're sharing interesting ideas. So just immerse yourself, learn more. I would certainly encourage you to listen to my podcast, which is also called Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, and come to jasonfalls.com and learn more there too.
Fantastic. All right. I want to ask you one final question. This is not something I prepped you for or gave you insight into prior to this conversation. So sorry about that. I just love to ask this question every so often of guests, because I find that sometimes people become paralyzed when confronted with an important decision. And the reality is often you can navigate wherever you want to be from wherever you end up, right? You can get where you want to be from where you are, but I think sometimes we become paralyzed. And so in retrospect, Jason, what was a good decision that you made at some point in your life, and why was it a good decision?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is. And I'm sorry, I didn't prepare you.
That's okay. No, I honestly think that a really good decision I made 3 years ago was to leave the world of independent consulting and come to Cornette, the agency where I work in Lexington, Kentucky. And the reason that was a good decision was because I am now around a creative team that fuels me. Mm-hmm. And having those colleagues in these meetings and conference calls, even in a pandemic world where it's via Zoom or whatever meeting software, I am energized by being around the people that I work with and the clients that we work with. And when you're an independent consultant, you're trying to do it on your own, you don't always have that mirror to bounce things off of and say, hey, help me look at this from a different angle. Or you don't have that other creative brain in the room to be able to inspire you to think a little differently too. And being back on the agency side of things with some really fantastically talented people at Cornette has been a godsend for me. And I'm very glad I made that decision.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, and we often, the funny thing is we often don't take those things into consideration when we're making decisions, right? We only think about some of the more sort of harder, easy to measure metrics, but we don't think about the people we're going to be around, the kind of environment we're going to be in, how that's going to draw things out of us that maybe we weren't expecting.
Very true. I'm very, very tickled that I went to Cornette and appreciative of the fact that I'm grateful for that. And I recognize that too.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Well, Jason Falls is the author of the new book Influence. He's also the host of the Winfluence podcast, which you should listen to as well. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Todd, thank you so much. I'm literally a longtime listener. And so it's really kind of a thrill to be on the show.
Awesome. Thank you. And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.